This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. We got playing games. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. LeBron says Steph Curry should be MVP. I mean, just look at what he's done this year, said LeBron. I don't know anything else. If you're looking for an MVP, if Steph's not on Golden State's team, what are we looking at? Curry, who's now 33 years old, scored 46 points in Sunday's win over Memphis to clinch the scoring title at almost 32 points a game, 31.8 points a game. Joining Michael Jordan is the only players age 33 or older to win the scoring title, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. Golden State is locked in as the West's number 8 seed and will play the Lakers on Wednesday. Yeah, Steph, listen, players who have averaged 30 points and have won the MVP and have won championships, Steph, Jordan, only a couple other guys. Of course, if you add finals MVP, now Steph's off that list. He still has to come through in the finals, you know, for a winning team. But listen, I believe LeBron's being sincere about this. You know, as I said in the previous hour, Bob Gibson once said of the, like, what's the greatest catch you've ever seen? He said, the greatest catch is like watching the girls walk by. The prettiest one is the last one you saw. The same thing with the greatest catch, right? Like, when you sometimes you're watching a catch in baseball, you're like, how could anything be better than that? It's recency bias. Same thing in basketball. When you're watching Steph Curry, especially since he came on in the last month of the season, month and a half of the season, to really take it to the next level. Now, early on, Embiid, game for game. Players to win NBA scoring titles, they have it up on ESPN Plus, 33 or older. Jordan did it in 96-97 and 97-98. And now Steph's done it. Of course, Jordan won the championship in under 7 games in both of those years as finals MVP. 6 trips to the finals in the only 6 years he really had a chance. 6-0 in the finals, under 7 games, won all 6 finals MVPs, and in reality was the MVP 10 straight years of the NBA. But Steph Curry, to even be on a list with Michael Jordan is amazing. Anyway, Embiid was the best player in the beginning of the season, till he started missing too many games. Now, game for game, I think James Harden's been the best player in the regular season. He was amazing. And then it turned into a two-horse race. Durant was great, and LeBron was great, but they both dropped out early, missing games. Then it was a two-horse race, Jokic or Damian Lillard. And by the way, Giannis is basically doing the same thing he did the 2 years he won MVP, but there's a little fatigue there, giving it to Giannis, and he hasn't come through in the playoffs, and I think that's being held against him too. But at any rate, and maybe a deeper understanding of what Giannis's limitations are based on the playoff play that people are now kind of like, you know, contextualizing his regular season performance with the view to that. But at any rate, Lillard, because of through attrition, he was carrying a heavy load for a team that really wasn't there for a lot of the year. And he wore down and hasn't been the same in the last month or so. And in, you know, while all that's happening, Steph just kept playing better and better and better. And the real MVP is Jokic. And Steph will come in, I believe, and deserves to come in second. But I don't think LeBron is like buttering him up or something. Like, what is he thinking? Like, hey, Steph, don't hit shots against us. I'm nice to you before the playing game. No, I think Steph is like LeBron is being honest because it's recency bias. Steph has been so good late in the year and anyway is in the MVP conversation that to LeBron's mind, knowing what Steph is capable of, he's like, yeah, it's the MVP. I disagree. But I think Steph does have an argument. And in most of the year, I thought, like, you can't argue he's actually the MVP. By the way, preseason, I thought Steph would battle it out with Luka Doncic for MVP. And, well, I was right about Steph, at least. And Luka came on also late as the year went on. But, like, you knew this team did not have enough shooting. Steph was going to be the focal point of the offense. And you know, if they were about 500, it would be because of Steph. That's what happened. I'm not surprised by this, but okay, here he is. Here's LeBron on facing the Warriors and Steph Curry.
You cannot replicate a game 7, especially, you know, with the first game, you know, and I've always treated game 1s like a fill-out game, but obviously you don't have that luxury in a play-in game. So, you know, we just got to play to the best of our ability. We got to play Lakers basketball. We got to defend at a high rate. You know, we're playing, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph. So, you know, we got to be, you know, prepared for everything that they have.
Yeah, and by the way, the Lakers match up well. They do defend very well. And there is no answer for LeBron and AD, really, because I'm trying to remember who it was who made the point on this show months ago. Think about matching up with the Lakers. Like, you think about someone like Royce O'Neal or like a really good defender on a Western Conference contender who could switch, guard multiple positions at an elite level, all that. What do you need on your team defensively to stop LeBron and AD? Like, what do you need to do that? You need multiple defenders who are versatile and elite and at least 6'8". Still, they could be, you know, it's a mismatch with AD. Like, ideally, you'd have, you know, at least one guy around 6'10 or 11 who could switch and defend at an elite level. And then maybe two other guys at least 6'8 who could do the same thing. It just doesn't exist in the league. The closest thing is actually the Sixers. Embiid, Simmons, and Thibault. But it is like nice, good luck defending LeBron and AD. I like the Lakers against the Warriors, but I can see the Warriors winning. Sure. If Steph gets super hot, what are you going to do? But then the Lakers ain't losing to the winner of the Grizzlies and Spurs with both LeBron and AD. And by the way, and Schroeder and everyone available to them. You think they're going to then go and after dropping a game to the Warriors in a do or die, go win or, you know, like move on or go home game to defend their title? They're going to lose to the 9 or 10 seed Grizzly or Spurs? Get out of here. Let's go to the Goodyear Hotline. John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers. Lakers play-by-play voice here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and one half of Mason and Ireland here on 710 ESPN Radio. John, are you there?
I am here, Max. What's going on, man? How are you?
John, let's jump right into Kobe. I want to start with Kobe. What a speech Vanessa gave at his Hall of Fame induction. Like, it's, you know, of course, what are people going to say the next day when the widow speaks? Oh, it was beautiful.
Right.
But, like, the
right.
reason I'm pointing to it right away, it was truly excellent. It was beautifully articulated and delivered and with feeling and just, I thought, done extraordinarily well. What is your favorite Kobe story through the years?
Oh, boy, how long do you have? It is, you know, Max, I got to the Lakers the same year he did, so I got to watch the whole ride.
Wow.
And there are, you know, and you were on part of that with me when you were out here in L.A., and there are many, but I'll give you a couple that would just kind of tell you a little bit about who Kobe is. So, we used to have a coach, he's still in the league, a guy named Larry Drew. He's been a head coach in the NBA. He played for the Lakers. He had a son, Larry Jr., who was a really good player. He went to North Carolina, then came to UCLA, finished his career at UCLA. So when Larry Sr. was a coach for the Lakers, he says to Kobe, hey, I think it would really help if my son watched you work out, like worked out with you one time. I think it would rub off on him. Would you be willing to work out with him? And Kobe said, sure, give me his number, I'll text him. So Kobe texts this kid, Larry Jr., who's in high school, and he says, hey, man, let's go work out. And Larry Jr.'s ecstatic. He can't believe it. He goes, what's your address? He gives him the address. He says, all right, I'm going to pick you up at 4 o'clock tomorrow. He goes, all right, I get home from school at 3:30. I'll be ready. And Kobe texts him back and says, no, 4 a.m. Be ready. I'm going to pick you up. This is on a school day.
Right.
I'll pick you up. And so the kid says, okay. And they go and they work out, and they go hard for 2 hours. And at like 6 o'clock in the morning, Kobe says, all right, I'm going to take you back. You got to get ready to go to school. And Junior says, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm going to go lift. And he said, well, don't you have practice today? He goes, yeah, practice is at 9. So Kobe was doing this every day, Max. He was getting up and working out. He doesn't sleep. So he was getting up, working out for 2 hours. Then he was lifting. Then he was the first guy at practice. And then he was the last guy to leave. He had a sick, almost undescribable work ethic that carried him through his whole career. I mean, he just, you've heard people say, well, the guy just wanted it more, or he works harder than anybody else. All that stuff with Kobe was times 10. He was the most dedicated, driven, hardworking freak of an athlete I ever covered.
That's amazing.
And that's one of, if you and I go out for a beer sometimes, I'll tell you 10 more just like that.
You know, talking to John Ireland here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, You know, my first impression, if someone said, like, what struck you most about Kobe? That's very, you know, I mean, look, what you're talking about is, and I said it on First Take today, you know, there are all-stars, and then there are superstars, and then there are, you know, all-time greats, then there are legends. You know, there are all-time greats that aren't legends. How many legends are there in the history of American team sports? You know, a couple of handfuls, maybe, right? Kobe was a legend. Kobe's a legend, and what you just talked about, that work ethic, is legend. It's funny because if someone asked me what's the thing that stuck out to me about Kobe Bryant, I would say, John, and this is not hyperbolic, he was the brightest athlete I ever spoke to. And I don't know what his measured IQ was, but I would guess it was extremely high. And I know, look, he never went to college, but he was a world traveler and a brilliant guy.
Yeah, there was an element to what you're talking about, too, that he was insatiably curious. And
yes.
Here's a quick story I'll tell you. So one year, we were stuck somewhere for Thanksgiving. And so we're all together, and we rent the Lakers rented us some ballroom in Detroit. Matter of fact, they weren't going to rent it for us, and Kobe came in and said, let me do it, I'll do it. And then everything got taken care of magically. And they put a ping pong table in this room. And Pau Gasol grew up with a ping pong table. So did Mike Trudell, our sideline reporter, who you know. And Trudell and Gasol are just running people. They're just dominating the whole thing. And everybody's so Kobe picks up a paddle, and Trudell beats him like 21-5. And then Kobe says, let's play again. And that by the time they're done playing, it's like 21-19.
Right.
And Kobe has ordered a ping pong table to be sent to his house back in California. So when we get back, he never has to lose to anybody at ping pong. And you could apply that to almost anything, including the intellect you're talking about. Like, it's not a coincidence or a fluke that he won an Oscar. He dove in head first. He went and looked, okay, if I'm going to make a short film, who would be the absolute best person I could get to do the music? And he goes and gets John Williams. Who would be the best person to be an animator? And he goes and gets that guy. So, yeah, I mean, he wasn't only driven, but he was super smart. So if you combine what you brought up and what I brought up, you have a one-of-a-kind guy.
Yeah, I miss him. You know, it's funny because I interacted with him a bit, not like you did through the years, but when I was in L.A. And there's some, you know, it's trite. So I miss so-and-so, of course, once they're gone. But I genuinely miss Kobe. And he's the kind of guy where it's hard to imagine, because he was so present, it's hard to imagine the sun goes up, the earth is still spinning, and he's not in the world. Like, that's bananas to me. I catch myself actually, not someone in my family, you know, just someone I catch myself thinking that sometimes. All right, at any rate, Kobe would not be too pleased with what the Lakers are facing right now in a playing game. But he also, you know, if they did come to a playing game, Kobe would go for what, 40, 50, and send whoever packing.
Right. But
you know what, John? I think the Clippers were foolish to avoid the Lakers in the first round. I think the time to get the Lakers is now. I think that once they get out of this play-in tournament, even if they lose to the Warriors, they ain't losing to the Grizzlies or the Spurs, and then they're going to get warmed up. And I like them against Utah or Phoenix. And I think the Clippers blew it here. Do you think the play-in is better than the sixth seed, or am I just kind of rationalizing this? They'd have been better off as a sixth seed.
I was surprised, Max, how everybody kind of jockeyed away from them because, you know, if you start messing with the basketball gods, normally it comes back to bite you. But the Clippers obviously tanked this weekend. Denver tanked last night. If Denver would have beaten Portland or at least been competitive, they would have played the Lakers in the first round. And so there seems to be this aura around, and the Lakers, to be honest, don't care who they play. They've been saying that for 3 weeks, that, you know, let's get to the tournament. And you know, they have 10 guys on this roster, Max, that won the title last year.
Right.
So they have no apprehension about playing anybody. But I tend to agree with you. Once LeBron gets into playoff mode and gets it revved up, he's going to be harder to stop. He's kind of a runaway train in that regard.
Yeah.
So I think that the Lakers actually ended up with a pretty good draw considering the circumstances. If they win Wednesday, they'll play Phoenix, who they beat 10 days ago because Phoenix doesn't have the size to compete with them. And if they get past Phoenix in that round, then they, you know, potentially could run into Denver, who I think they match up pretty well with too. So it's the biggest issue with the Lakers is keeping everybody healthy.
That's my next question, John. Are they healthy enough to repeat, in your opinion, right now? Are they healthy enough? It seems to me every time LeBron and AD get on the court, they re-injure. Like, in AD's case, it's the groin now. In LeBron's case, it's the ankle. But are they healthy enough to really defend their title?
They are right. To answer your question, they are right now. Today, if there was a tournament today and we played all day for the title, the Lakers would be the favorites because everybody is good to go. But who knows? I mean, this has been a weird season where they jammed a whole bunch of games in. It's not just Lakers who've been getting hurt. Every team has suffered kind of these freakish injuries. But think about this, Max. For most of the season, the Lakers didn't have their starting five that they're going to start in the playoffs, which is Schroeder, Caldwell Pope, LeBron, AD, and now Andre Drummond, who's been really good. They've had them over the last three games, and they've won them all. They're going into the playoffs 5-0. They normally don't do that. I think they're poised for what could be a historic run. The only team that's ever won it from even the sixth seed is Houston in 95. So this would be record-breaking. But you just asked the million-dollar question. Can they stay healthy for the whole run? And who knows?
Talking to John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, Lakers play-by-play voice, also Mason in Ireland on 710 ESPN in L.A. John, I came up with something, and maybe you've done it also, like maybe it's been done before, but I just want to, like, apropos of nothing, I've just been thinking about the Lakers a lot recently, and listen to this one. Remember when we were doing Mount Rushmores, and this is coming off Genie leaving Jerry West off the top
sure.
five, and Jerry West
yeah.
is upset about it. So Mount Rushmore, I think, really boils down to on the Lakers is Kobe and Magic are definitely on it. I think then Kareem and Jerry West, right? So now here's the question. Here are the guys who did not make the Lakers Mount Rushmore.
I know.
Tell
it's
me if you can find a team whose actual Mount Rushmore is as good, okay? Shaq, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, and LeBron James. Is there right. another team whose Mount Rushmore matches up with the guys who can't get on the Lakers?
Max, I'll take it a step further. I've always said to anybody around the league that if you give me the Lakers' all-time roster, like anybody who's ever played for the Lakers, and yeah. I gave you the rest of the league,
be tough
every
to beat.
Team,
yeah.
you can have the Celtics, the Bulls, the Warriors, the Rockets, you can have everybody. Every team yeah. in the history of the league. I don't think you could beat my team. I mean, I would have Magic and Kobe at guards. Mm. I would have LeBron, Shaq, Wilt, Kareem, tough. Elgin Baylor, Worthy. Anthony Davis would be coming off the bench.
Yeah.
They've got an unparalleled history. And that's why people got to give Genie a break. You know, people are killing Genie for giving that list. It's a great list, but I could give five, like on my list, Max, my hero was Chick Hearn. He was my
yeah,
broadcast
Chick
idol.
Chick Hearn could be on there.
Chick
sure.
would be on my list. Jerry West that. Would be
Pat
on most
Riley,
people's list.
Pat Riley, by the way.
Michael Thompson, who you know, would probably put Pat Riley on his list. I mean, you could have five completely different lists.
But here's the issue,
say,
John.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good list.
Here's the issue. And by the way, Jeannie Buss, you know, wanted to be a good daughter, a good family member, you know, tried to adhere to her father's dying wishes, essentially, and kept her brother on running basketball operations probably a year longer than she ought to have, but for good reason. 3 years after she took the handcuffs off, she won a championship. Like, everyone can shut up. Everyone can shut up. 3 years later, she won a championship. Everyone shut up. But here's the mistake I think she made. Once she put her ex, Phil Jackson, on the list as a non-participant, as a coach, that's where she opened herself up. Top five, because now people are going to say, wait a minute.
Can I give you the
Pat
other
Riley
side of that?
Riley is coach. Chick Hearn is an announcer. Jerry West, now you have to put on. Yes, go ahead.
Max, can I give you the other side of that?
Yeah.
All right. The question was asked of her, and I haven't talked to Jeannie about this, but I'm just putting myself in her shoes. The question was asked to her, who are your five most important Lakers? Mm. Well, think about her run as an owner. Of course LeBron has to be there. LeBron... Right. gave her the cachet to win a title in that window you talked about. LeBron's going to change her life.
John, you talked me into it. In other words, Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson taught Jeannie more about basketball than anybody. She was engaged to the guy. They lived together. I mean, she taught him more about basketball
than
any other person.
And by the way, won five championships with the Lakers. Not like he didn't do that. So, Phil in that case and Kobe and Magic and LeBron. And who else did she put on?
She put Magic, Kareem,
Kareem
and LeBron.
Yeah.
Or Kobe, Magic, and LeBron.
I see it. I see your point. John Ireland rode in and saved the day. Saved Jeannie Buss from these outrageous charges. John, what do you and Mason got going on this week?
Well, what are you kidding? I mean, the Dodgers are in free fall, so the whole season, Max, things have gotten
so weird.
We got
like 30 seconds or they're going to kill me, John. Yeah.
Okay, things are so weird. We have signed Albert Pujols. Think about that.
Right.
Just kick that around for a while. The Lakers are in the play-in game Wednesday, which I think, Max, will be the highest-rated non-finals game in 10 years. So I think we got enough to talk about, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think you got enough to talk about. It's pretty good being in L.A., being on the air in L.A. The great John Ireland, ladies and gentlemen, Mason in Ireland, play-by-play for the Lakers. Lots to talk about this week. The Max Kellerman Show. Thank you, John. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. A team I abandoned. Are they the best story in the NBA? No doubts next. It's playoff time. Big stakes, bigger promotions. Every day of basketball playoffs. Yeah. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, will have up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs. The best part, it's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. It's easy. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen, like who's going to hit the most threes, which team will score first, during the day's basketball games, and track your results throughout the evening. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code MAX for a limited time. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. No doubt. Coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, heavyweight championship of the world, the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world, is set. More on that in a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, what do you got, Raj?
Well, Max, it's National Do Something for Your Neighbor Day.
Yeah,
I know you're a little under the water, so you probably didn't help your neighbors much this weekend. But
right.
Max, you're a good neighbor. Max is a good neighbor.
Well, look, I mind my own business.
Do you even know your neighbor's name?
Do
you
name me one? Do neighbor? Wait a minute. I do. I live in an apartment building in New York City. And I have very nice neighbors. Now, do something for them if they asked? For sure I would. However, it has occurred to me that, in fact, it is they who have done some things for me when I actually stop to think about it. So is that a good neighbor? I accept their generosity. Is that a good neighbor?
Okay. It's close enough. Close enough, man. Hey, you mentioned it earlier, but Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua is set. This will live up to the hype. I've been waiting for this for about 3 years, Max. But question to you. This fight will live up to the hype.
No doubt, in the sense that it's going to crown an undisputed heavyweight champion, and I don't see it being a boring fight, right? Now, it could be that Tyson Fury dominates this fight. That's a possibility, because Tyson Fury has raised his game. When the biggest guy in the division, 6'9", 260+, is also the smoothest boxing, best defensive guy in the division, and has shown the biggest heart getting up off the canvas in the 12th round after taking a shot from maybe the biggest puncher ever, Deontay Wilder, after coming off a long layoff, like, that guy is tough to beat. So if Tyson Fury dominates Anthony Joshua, is that a letdown, or is that an amazing performance? Meantime, you can't sleep. Anthony Joshua is a big, strong guy, Olympic super heavyweight gold medalist, and, you know, even if he's not big compared to Tyson Fury, he's the better puncher, and his resume, while his best wins aren't as good maybe as Tyson Fury's very best wins, he has more really good wins against very good opposition than Tyson Fury. I think it's a great matchup. It's, you know, other than Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, it's the number one matchup I'd make in the sport. And, you know, August 14th, Saudi Arabia. Here we go.
We got a date. Hey, Max, your Knicks were indeed the best story of the NBA.
Nah, son. No, the Knicks, the best story of the NBA? No.
What's a better story than that?
The Brooklyn Nets. little scrappy team of underdogs. Well, like, you know, by the, because I'll tell you why. The season's not over. You can't tell me regular season in the NBA. It's a six-month season. 2 of those months, like the first 4 months, don't matter much. The last 2 months are the highest leverage games there are. Here come the Nets, all healthy. When all is said and done, if they win the championship, that's what we're going to remember about this season. Here come the Lakers. When all is said and done, if they win the championship, that's what we're going to remember about this season. That a Lakers team or a Knicks team that was hurt all year got it together and ran the table, right? I think the Phoenix Suns are a great story. The Jazz are a great story. The Knicks are an excellent story, a feel-good team that's easy to root for. I wouldn't say they're the best story.
All right. I'm going to tell CP the franchise on you.
Franchise.
Hey,
the franchise.
2020.
CP the franchise.
That's so hard to say that, franchise. Hey, 2020 was the best Hall of Fame class ever. Just a question. Not my opinion, but NBA Hall of Fame, 2020. What you got?
Nah, son. I'm not going to say this with a lot of conviction. But maybe, son. Like, probably, son. Look, it's tough to beat them on the merits of the argument because Kobe and Duncan are both top 15 players, if not top 10 players. Both, I mean. And Garnett's a top 20, 25 player. So that's great. I do think that David Robinson and John Stockton have both become really underrated. And I think that when those two guys are going in, along with the greatest player who ever lived, you got a good argument. Like, maybe not if you just stack the talent up, maybe this one reaches a little higher. But I think they're like, David Robinson's become really a slept-on guy. He was, you know, because Olajuwon got him when it mattered most, and that counts against him. People ignore the fact that David Robinson was like a 30-point, 12-rebound, 3-4 block-a-game guy. You know, 28 points, 12 rebounds, like on and on and on. And then John Stockton, by the way, was, you know, 10-time All-Star. He has the all-time assist lead by almost 4,000 assists. Okay. No one else has that lead. The number two isn't that ahead of number three, number three, number four. Nothing like a couple hundred assists, 1,000 assists. 4,000 assists more than, and people act like these guys aren't in the conversation.
Cricket, we got 10 seconds left. Hall of Fame bonus question. Who would win one-on-one, Duncan or Garnett? One-on-one.
Garnett, maybe. Garnett.
Yeah,
I would say Garnett one-on-one.
That's tough.
But it's not a one-on-one sport. Duncan was a greater player than Garnett. Duncan's the greatest power forward of all time.
Yeah, that's why I say one-on-one, though. One-on-one, I got
Garnett. One-on-one, maybe KG. Yep. You know, got a little bit more for a one-on-one game, maybe. Maybe a little more spry, a little more, you know, quick, fast twitchies. Well, who do you like in Garnett and Duncan one-on-one?
Oh, Garnett.
Yeah,
because of the range, and it just more can do more with the game, a little more dynamic one-on-one, but better
a little
team
more
player.
Dynamic one-on-one. Yeah, Duncan was, I mean, Duncan's the greatest power forward ever, clearly, and then also one of the greatest centers ever. Like, if you play him at center, who would you rather have, Duncan or Robinson or Ewing? You'd probably take Duncan over Robinson or Ewing if you have a center. Duncan or Olajuwon? Probably Olajuwon by a little. Duncan or Shaq? Like, that's an interesting question at center. And then he's also the greatest power forward of all time.
That's over 20 seconds.
Last take is your take next. Why don't you play the imaging now, Raj?
Here's the pitch, and he swings, and Shohei Ohtani drives the ball deep down the right side, and they're saying that ball has left the ballpark, and Shohei has just given the Angels the lead in this ball game, and now the Angels are on top 6-5.
Man, I'm glad I'm alive to see Ohtani play. Not since Babe Ruth, right? Angels Radio AM 830, Shohei Ohtani hits a two-run home run in the ninth inning to put the Angels ahead of the Red Sox on Sunday. Ohtani now has 12 home runs on the year. This MLB weekend recap is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. And by the way, I did Ryan Russillo's podcast on The Ringer today. I guess that'll be on today. I don't know how podcasts, I don't know how any of this works. Technology. I was an aspiring computer programmer as a kid, too. Used to program BASIC back in 1980, 7, 8 years old. And my mother and father, it's a passing fad. As soon as they found out what a computer cost, they said, it's a passing fad. Now I have no idea what I'm doing, Raj. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Plus gives you live daily coverage of the PGA Championship from the Ocean Course at Kiawa Island this weekend is the word I'm trying to pronounce. From Thursday through Sunday, stream the exclusive main feed each morning featuring featured groups every day and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/golf.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Let me tell you something, Max. Those golf guys, they got something to worry about with you, boy.
I know. Watch out. Take all their jobs.
Those commentators.
Featured. Weekend. Like Porky Pig over here. Jake in North Carolina. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max?
Go, Jake.
So this Miami-Milwaukee series is the most intriguing in the first round out of the East. And I wanted your opinion on what the impact of winning would affect Giannis' legacy or losing this series.
Winning doesn't do much for him because it's the first round. Losing would be devastating. I think that Jrue Holiday, like they bring on Jrue Holiday. Look, the problem was they took care of Middleton. But what's his name? The point guard. They let Brogdon walk out the door. And the reason that was significant was not just that Brogdon's a good player, but because when you make trades, you need to match up salaries in a soft cap league. And without Brogdon there as a trading chit, that's C-H-I-T actually, it's chit is the actual word, not chip, and not the other one that you're not allowed to say. Did you know that, Raj? At any rate, without Brogdon there, when guys became available, like you couldn't get Chris Paul, you got Jrue Holiday, and I think a lot of Jrue Holiday. But the idea that he is going to help bring Giannis a championship, I don't think so. I like Jrue Holiday a lot. I think if there's one guy clearly better than him on the team, maybe, other than Giannis. And you could say Middleton's better. Is he clearly better? You know, but I think he is a hedge against losing to a team like the Heat in the first round. And Jrue Holiday will help make sure that doesn't happen. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What's up, Richard?
Max, please. Yeah. Bill Russell, Larry Bird, John Havlicek, Paul Pierce, Bob Cousy, Ray Allen, Dennis Johnson, Paul Silas, Kevin McHale, Dave Cowens, Kevin Garnett, JoJo White, Robert Parrish, Sam.
What about him? Yeah, you're just naming a lot of great Celtics. So what?
Charlie Scott. You want defenders? Satch Sanders, Willie Knowles.
Wait, you just hold on, Richard. Richard, no, listen, Richard. No one cares about all the old names. Listen. What's the point? What's the point?
I'll take them 20 against your 20.
We're not talking about 20. We're talking about Mount Rushmore. That's 4. And my point is take the Mount Rushmore for the Lakers. Never mind that. Take the 4 that didn't make it. Shaq, LeBron, Elgin, and Wilt. And match up any other Mount Rushmore, that's top 4, with those 4. Who do you want? Russell, Bird, who else? Who else do you want? You want Havlicek? You want McHale? Who do you want?
Paul Pierce, Havlicek.
Okay, they're going to lose. That's not as good. Let me just be very clear. That's not as good as LeBron, who, if he's not the... it's Michael Jordan 1, LeBron 2, right? LeBron, Shaq, who was, you know, Wilt, and Elgin Baylor.
LeBron, I'll go Bill Walton then. I mean, come on.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Why? Bill Walton didn't win a championship as the centerpiece of the team. He was off the bench. No,
okay,
this LeBron. I'll take this LeBron, a prime Shaq, the Wilt that the Lakers had, and Elgin Baylor in his prime. And the best the Celtics could do is maybe match that. But that's not even their Mount Rushmore. Those are the 4 guys who didn't make it on the Lakers. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max. Good show, always. I'd love to give you something, my Clippers, with their Mount Rushmore, but I need more time.
Yes.
MVP. I think you got to give it to Jokic for the Denver. He's played just about every game. I think you got to give it to him. I think
Jokic will be the MVP. Mitch, and I think he deserves it. What else?
What do you think? I love the Clippers going against Dallas. It was close. It was kind of exciting last year. But I think this is the Clippers. They got the bench. This is their year. The Cubs had it 5 years ago.
I think they should have tanked to avoid the Lakers. I thought that was a mistake. Catch the Lakers cold in the first round. mowing California. You have 30 seconds.
Max, you got two. I got 2 points here on the Western Conference. If you look at the teams, you could almost invert them almost like an hourglass. If Golden State was healthy going into the year with Wiseman,
but they weren't. I hear you, but they weren't.
My point is,
yeah, go ahead.
You could have, and that makes it very, very interesting on the Eastern. You're talking about Brooklyn in 130 when it slows down. They're not going to be able to get 130, and when your defense is that poor, you don't have to be as good as they do.
I hear you, except that they're going to score a ton no matter what. They can shoot the lights out. Max Kellerman Show, Shanae and Golic Jr. coming up. See you tomorrow.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.